Good morning, everyone. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And as you are turning there, I just want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to share the Word of God with you today. I count it a great privilege because the Lord teaches me through His Word. He teaches you, and it's my prayer that as we study His Word today, He will meet whatever spiritual need is on our heart. The context of what we're going to study today is where Jesus had just been teaching his disciples parables and truth in regards to the kingdom of God. Now there's going to be a test that he has orchestrated for them to see how much faith they have and if fear is going to be conquered through the storms of life. So we're going to study that together, Mark chapter 4, and I want to begin reading in verse 35. If you are physically able, would you please stand for the reading of the Word of God this morning? If you are physically able, please stand. And follow along in your own Bibles or listen to me as I read. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Thank you. You may be seated. Several years ago, there was an article that appeared in the newspaper that really caught my attention. The title was, "Grandma, Grandson Left Swinging in the Breeze." And here's what it said. The operator of the gondola ride over the scenic Spokane River Falls went home thinking that he had checked to see if all the cars were empty. He missed the car with Darlene Harrington and her grandson. Harrington and her 7-year-old grandson were left swinging in the breeze for about an hour directly over the falls. It happened until they were turned in by a utility worker who called in and they were rescued by the fire department. Harrington said, "At first, after we stopped, we thought that they were putting someone else on the ride, and we just sat there. Then my grandson said, 'What if they have forgotten us?' And I said, 'They would not just forget us.' But she was wrong. The operator had closed down the ride. He had gone home. He left the two riders, as I said, hanging in the small 4-seat car directly over the falls. And after half an hour, the utility worker saw him, contacted the fire department, and they were rescued. Harrington, who was visiting the area, said the gondola ride was, and I quote, 'My first time and my last.'" Well, I'm sure most of us have not been stranded on a gondola ride. But I do believe that most of us in our walk with Jesus Christ have at some time felt like Harrington and her grandson, as though the Lord has left us swinging in the breeze. And I say that because there are times when we go through tests, trials, troubles, problems, persecution, and we wonder what God is doing. We even pray about it at times when we say, "Lord, don't you see what's happening to me? Don't you care about the problem? Do you even care that we are perishing?" And I give that last question because that's a question we find here in Mark chapter 4 that was given by these disciples. Here they are on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is in the boat with them. Now he's asleep in the back of the boat, but he's still in that boat. And even though Jesus was in the boat with them, they felt as though he had abandoned them, that he had forgotten them, and they went and woke him up in the middle of this storm, and they said, "Don't you even care that we perish?" Now that's quite a statement. Think about it for a moment. "Lord, don't you even care that we are perishing?" These disciples, just like us, needed to be taught what real faith was all about. And they needed to learn that Jesus Christ is the one that they can trust during the storms of life. And we've got to learn the same thing. Because we're all going to go through storms. You may be in a storm of life right now. And we need to come to the place where we trust Jesus Christ, where we do not live in fear. And we need to be reminded that Jesus is continually testing our faith, testing our walk with him, to see if we are trusting him. And he wants us to get to the place where when the storms come, we will live in faith and not fear. So that's what we're going to study today. We're going to study about how during the storms of life, we can come to the place where we do not have fear. There are four reasons why we need not fear when going through the storms of life. I've given you an outline, and you can follow along with me if you desire. The first reason is this. It's found in verse 35. It's because of the promises of Jesus. Now notice there the phrase, "the same day." It refers to the day in which Jesus had taught them parables about the kingdom of God. He had been teaching the disciples about the importance of the word and how they should obey it. And now he's giving them a very practical test to see if they had learned what he had taught. Now, will we trust God during the storms of life? When the tests, trials, trouble, problems, persecution come in our life, will we trust God? As I already said, God continually is testing our faith. And in 1 Peter 1:7, we read about that. In that passage, it says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There Peter tells us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that our faith is tested by fire so that it becomes precious, so that Jesus Christ is honored in our life by the way we respond. You see, it's not enough to verbally state that we have learned a lesson. We need to be those who live what we learn. And real faith is doing what God has said, obeying the very word of God. So our faith is continually tested to see whether we are trusting God, whatever we are experiencing in our life. Do we really have faith in him? And we need to be reminded that in one respect, we will never know the power of God until we go through a trial. It's in the storms of life that we learn the reality, the power of Jesus Christ, how much he loves us, how much he cares, what his power is like. Often it's during those storms when we turn to him in faith, trusting him, obeying his word. It is then we learn the power and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and how he is one who keeps his promises. Now, a question to consider as we examine what happens here with the disciples. Did Jesus know the storm was coming that day? Of course he did. It was on that day's curriculum. He would help the disciples learn the lesson that he can be trusted. And we need to ask ourselves again, have we learned that lesson ourselves? Because you see, storms will come in our life. All of us have burdens. All of us have trials. And we all, if we know Christ as Savior, have a Lord who will help us, but we've got to turn to him in those situations. That's where the disciples were here in this boat on the Sea of Galilee when the storm came. And it's interesting that Jesus had given them a promise. I don't know if you've seen it in this statement, but he told them to get in the boat, and he said, "We're going to go to the other side." That's what he said. "Let's get in and go to the other side." That was a promise. We're going to get to the other side. They didn't know a storm was coming that day, but he had said that they were going to get to the other side. And yet when that storm came, the water was filling the boat. These men became so frightened that they went and woke up the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Don't you even care that we are perishing?" Now think about it. Many of these men were fishermen. Many of them made their living on that sea. They had experienced storms before on the Sea of Galilee, no doubt. But this one was different. In fact, the Bible says it was a great storm. So much so that they had this fear where they came and woke up the Lord and asked if he really cared. And of course Jesus cared. But Jesus had given a promise. I would venture to guess that none of them remembered what he had said when they first got on the boat. But later, I'm sure they did. He said, "Let's get in and go to the other side." And we've got to come to the place, brethren, especially during the storms of life, where we remember what Jesus has said in regards to promises of his word. And I want to share with you some promises that can be a blessing to you. They've been a blessing to me. That's why I put them in the outline. And I would encourage you to study them and read them and hopefully even memorize them, because when the storms come, we need to have an anchor. Our anchor is Jesus Christ. It's the word of God. But we need to know where to go in the Bible. We need to know what to trust, and we need to know what to obey. One promise I'm going to share with you is the promise of power, the power of our God. Isaiah 41:10. God says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Then the promise of perseverance, Psalm 55:22. "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. He will sustain us." Another promise is a promise of God's peace. The words of Jesus Christ in John 14:27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Then we have the promise of provision. Philippians 4:19. "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." God providing for us. And then the promise of God's providence. Philippians 1:6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Now God allows storms in our life so that we can learn to trust his promises. And when we do so, we will grow in Christ, our faith will be seen, and he will be honored. Not long after arriving in the New Hebrides Islands, which are some islands in the South Pacific, pioneer missionary John G. Payton and his wife rejoiced in the coming of a baby son to gladden their home. But the joy was short-lived. Soon, death took both his wife and his child. And John Payton had to dig their graves and bury his loved ones with his own hands. And in writing of this experience, he later testified with these words: "If it had not been for Jesus and the fellowship and grace he afforded me, I am certain I would have gone mad or died of grief beside their lonely graves." Marvelously strengthened from above, this bereaved servant of God found that the promises of the Word of God were able to sustain him through the heartache and sorrow of his tragic loss. One of the favorite promises that I just shared in that outline, Psalm 55:22, "Cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you." The word burden actually means what he has given you. What he's given you. I don't often look at the problems and tests and trials and persecutions that come as what God has given me, but that it has come through his hand. It is given by him for a reason and a purpose. And often it's multiple reasons and multiple purposes that he is seeking to perform in our life. And it's during those times that we are to give it back to him, cast it on him, trust him, and allow him to work. Because God's promises are true, they are real, they are precious, and they will strengthen us to the point where we need not fear during the storms of life. Now, there's a second reason we need not fear, and that's because of the presence of Jesus. Verse 36 through 38. Jesus was in the boat with his disciples. Now, it's true that he was asleep in the back of the boat, but he was still there. And the promise of God is that God is with us through the storms of life. We can sense his presence. In Hebrews 13:5, Jesus promised, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So that you might boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me." He's promised never to leave us or forsake us. And that truth is shared by God with others in the Bible. Let me give you one other example. In Joshua chapter 1, Moses, the great leader of Israel, has just died. And Joshua now has been chosen by God to be the leader of the nation of Israel. In fact, he's been given a task to lead these people into the promised land, some 1.5 million people. And what an awesome responsibility. But it was the parents of these same people who 40 years previous to that time had rebelled against God, rebelled against Moses, against Joshua, against Caleb, had refused to go into the promised land, and so they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until all those in rebellion had died. And now it's their children, their grandchildren, that Joshua has been called on by God to lead into the promised land. And I wondered if he ever had the thought, are they going to be like their parents? Are they really going to obey God? Are they going to do what God has said? He is struggling with fear, something we all struggle with. So what did God tell him? In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, God says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And praise God, that's true for you. It is true for me. He will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. For Christmas one year, I received a book entitled Things We Couldn't Say. It was the story of Diet Eman, a young Dutch girl who worked in the Dutch resistance during World War II. It's an incredible story of faith in Christ, suffering for Christ, and victory through Christ. After working several years with the underground movement in Holland, one day Diet was captured by the Gestapo, the Nazi police. She was taken to a prison, and she was incarcerated for months. At first, she stayed in a cell that was made really for only one person, but they had 5 women total in that cell. You could hardly move. She was able to keep a bobby pin in her hair. And with that bobby pin, so crowded that basically all you could do was look at the wall, she used that bobby pin to start carving into that soft stone a passage of scripture that was a precious promise for her. It's a portion of Matthew 28, verse 20 that said, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end." A promise of the presence of God. It encouraged her, and she left it in stone so that if anybody followed her into that cell, they could see the Word of God right there for themselves. She was one who experienced the power of Jesus Christ to bring her through the storm of life. And her testimony is a reminder that whatever storm we're going through, God is with us. God is with us. According to Titus chapter 1, our God cannot lie. It is against his character. And he said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. There's a third reason why we need not fear in the storms of life, and that is because of the peace of Jesus. Verse 39, Jesus was in perfect peace during this storm. He was asleep in the boat. Now that fact alone should have encouraged the disciples, and it should be an encouragement to every one of us today. Because the peace that Jesus has is a peace that Jesus gives. And he gives it to all of us as we look to him and obey his word, as we hold on to what he has said. Jesus woke up. He stood up. He said, "Peace, be still." And how interesting to me, the first word out of his mouth was peace. And the wind stopped. The waves stopped, and the Bible says there was a great calm. A great calm. What an amazing thing, the peace that Jesus brought in that situation. Several years ago, my wife Virginia and I were in California. I had attended a pastor's conference in Los Angeles, and we took a few days vacation, and we were driving up Highway 1 right along the coastline. And we stopped at a particular location, and paid to take a boat ride to Catalina Island. Now, I am not much of a water person. I seldom ever go on lakes or the ocean. I'm very rarely in a boat. So this was a very unique experience for me. They said that we would see dolphins, other wildlife, so we signed up to go. I did have some apprehension, however, when the tour guide said it would be a 3-hour tour. All I could think about was that TV show I grew up with in the 1960s called Gilligan's Island, where they took a 3-hour tour and a storm came up and wrecked the boat. And I was thinking about that. I thought, no, we're going to be okay. Well, we got on this boat, we took off, and we saw some dolphins. We were out about 20 or 30 minutes, and all of a sudden, everything changed. Clouds came in about faster than I've ever seen them come before. The wind started to howl. The waves got big, so much so that the captain of our boat got on the intercom, and he said, after we'd only been out there probably about an hour, and he said, we're turning around and we're going back. I thought, if he's turning back before the 3-hour tour, this can't be good at all. But I knew it wasn't good. The wind and the waves were something I had never experienced in my life. And then it started to rain. And again, he got on the intercom and he said, all of you come in the cabin area. There's probably about 20 of us on the boat. So we went in this cabin area. It was closed on three sides, the front and the side, but the back was open. And we got in there, and he told us all to sit down, and I sat down, and then I was going like this in that cabin, and I started to get seasick. I was getting so sick, and I thought, oh, I don't want to embarrass myself and make this miserable for everybody. I don't want to get sick right here in this cabin. And so I walked outside, and I stood in the rain, and I grabbed hold of a rail that was on the side of the cabin. And then I looked at shore. And I could see a building on the shore. And as long as I kept my eyes on that building, I was okay. The seasickness went away. Now, the boat was still rocking like nothing I'd ever experienced. But I kept my eyes on the shore, and I kept a hold of that handle. Suddenly, another man came out. He went over to the other side. He grabbed onto the handle. And he looked at me, and he said, you must be going through the same thing I am. And I said, well, I'm a flatlander from Kansas, and I'm not used to a storm like this. And he looked at me, and he smiled, and he said, well, I'm a flatlander from Nebraska. So here we were out there. But as long as I could keep my eyes on something on the shore and have a hold of that handle, I was fine. Not only was I no longer sick, I had a peace. And it was a reminder to me in my Christian life how if I will look to Jesus, which is what we said, what God says in Hebrews 12 were to do, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat on the right hand of the Father. We are to look to Jesus, and as we look to him and hold on to the word of God, he will provide his peace. Let me give you another passage that mentions that. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Another one is Isaiah 26 and verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So praise God for the peace he gives in the storms. We've got to turn to him, hold on to him, look to him, and he provides peace. A fourth reason we need not fear during the storms of life is because of the power of Jesus. Verse 39 through 41. Now the problem that the disciples had, that's so obvious as we study the passage, is a problem of fear. Remember they said, Lord, don't you even care that we perish? Well, of course he cares. And Jesus loves us no matter what we're going through. In fact, God is very clear in Romans 8, 38 through 39, that nothing in this life can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Jesus looked at his disciples after he said, peace be still, and there was this great calm. He looks at them and he says, why are you so fearful? Why do you not have any faith? And then there's something stated here that I believe is very dramatic. Look again at verse 41. What did they say? What did they do? It says they feared exceedingly. They feared exceedingly. You see, now that there's this great calm, there's more fear now than there was during the great storm. But the greatest danger was not what was happening on the outside of the disciples' lives. The greatest danger was inside, that during the storm they were not trusting in Jesus. And after this, what I believe was a very gentle rebuke, they realized how important faith was. And because of his great demonstration of power, of peace, of love, of care, of grace, they realized like never before that they are in a boat with Almighty God. The God-man, Jesus, perfectly God, perfectly man, has just calmed that storm. And it says now that they fear exceedingly. Why? Because they're beginning to realize more than probably ever before of who Jesus is and what he can do and how he can minister in their life. When Robert Morrison, the first missionary to go to China, disembarked from the ship in a Chinese port, the captain of that ship sneeringly said to him, "So you think that you're going to make an impression upon China?" And Morrison quietly replied, "No, sir, but I believe God can. And God can, and God did through him." And we've got to remember that our hope in the storms of life is our Lord Jesus Christ. He helps us more than any other person. And he is the one who provides his power. I think of Paul's testimony in Philippians 4:19. He says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." All things through Christ. All things through Christ. And when we know of his power, the product is faith. We trust him then. We will trust him more. And yet it's interesting. As long as we have life on this earth, our faith is continually tested. And why is that? It's from a verse we studied before, 1 Peter 1:7. So that it can be tried like fire, so that when we go through it, Christ is glorified. And here are these disciples. They have exceeding fear. This fear, though, is a reverence, a respect, an awe, realizing the power of Almighty God in their personal lives. And I'm sure many of you could give testimony, just like they did, from what they said. You can give testimony of God's power in your life, a power that you don't have to love someone who is difficult, to forgive someone who has hurt you, to experience the provision of Almighty God when finances are tested, to go through a trial, go into the hospital, go through a period of sickness, or that of loved ones going through that and experiencing the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Some of the greatest sermons I've ever heard or witnessed were not those preached from a pulpit, but from a sickbed, where I've gone in to visit somebody in the hospital and talk to them, and they have a peace of God. Yeah, you can see often pain in their face, but they are trusting the Lord Jesus. He has given them peace for whatever it is they're experiencing. Many of you can give testimony of that. That's what these disciples did, because what's the final statement of the chapter? They look at one another. They're so amazed. They look at each other and they say, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now let me ask you, is that followed by a question mark or an exclamation point? Well, it depends on your translation. Some translations it's a question mark, some it's an exclamation point. You might say, "Well, Pastor, which is it?" I believe it's both. It's a question, but this is an exclamation point. In my words, it's this: who is this Jesus who can make the wind stop and the waves calm? Who is he? He is one like I've never known before, one whom I'm seeing the power of God again in my life. Who is this Jesus? He is Lord of my life, he is Savior, and he is the one who can meet my need in the storms of life. Hold on to that, brethren, because we're all going to go through storms. In fact, I have no doubt that in this congregation today, that some of you are going through storms. And it could be that nobody else knows about it. Nobody but you and God. And maybe you're like Paul was in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You remember his testimony there? He says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the problems we had. He said, I was pressed out of measure. Above strength, meaning he didn't have any. Insomuch that I despaired even of life. That's the Apostle Paul, despairing of life. But then he says, we have the sentence of death in ourselves because, my translation, my paraphrase, we trust in God. We trust in God. And the storm you're going through today, I want to encourage you, like these disciples, trust in the Lord. He will turn our fear into faith. And why is that? It's because of the promises of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, and the power of Jesus. So today, let's let him turn our fear into faith. And let's pray that he'll be glorified as we go through the storm and look to him and hold on to the promises of what he has said. And may God be glorified in our life. Let's all stand, please. I'd like for all of you to stand, and I'm going to close here in a moment in prayer. But as you're standing, I'd like for you to please just bow your head, close your eyes. I just want to ask you a question. I am not your pastor. I don't know you. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I do have a heart for you. And I want to pray for you. I can't pray for you by name. I wouldn't do that publicly anyway. But is there anyone here this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, is there anyone here this morning going through a storm and you'd just like for me to pray? I don't even know what it is. But if that's the case, would you just raise your hand? Anybody here? Amen. Amen. Thank you for that honesty, that humility. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I see those. Thanks. Anybody else? One other question is this. Is there anyone here that does not know Christ as Savior? And if you do not, please talk to me, or maybe there's somebody else here in this church you know as a Christian. Talk to them and trust Christ. He died for you, he rose again. And he is the one who can be your anchor in the storms of life. Let's close in prayer. Father, today I thank you for this, your word that we have studied. I thank you that one of the greatest statements that you give us throughout the Bible is fear not. And now we know why. It's because you have given us promises. We have your presence, we have your peace, and we have your power in the storms of life. Lord, there are some who raise their hand that are going through storms right now. I don't know what they are, but you do. And that's what matters. That's what counts. And I pray that as they are going through these storms today, that they would recognize your presence like they never have. They would experience the power of God to respond in faith. That they have a peace of God that passes all understanding, that would be a testimony to you, and would be encouraged by the fact of your presence. Lord, be glorified, I pray, in what they're going through. And for all of us, God, when those storms come, may that be the case. Thank you for this dear assembly of brethren. Bless them. Bless Pastor Toby on his vacation. And God, we pray in thanksgiving that you are the one. You are the one we can trust in the storms of life. Thank you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming. You are dismissed. I encourage you to greet one another as you leave today. May God bless you all.